This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Camera for broadcasting, set up for this position, and I don't mind. Today I talk to you about the concept of Tawbah, the repentance, and the importance of it. And one thing that I was planning to share tonight, early today, but I couldn't because of the lack of the time, but I said I will share it with you tonight. One of the most effective, or let's put it this way, one of the most effective story that I heard personally about Tawbah was this story that I want to share with you tonight. It's really one of these stories that really touched my heart. And I heard it from the person who experienced this story himself. And he'd been quite saying it to the public. It just reminded me of what I used to read in the books about the early Muslim scholars. When you read about Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad, rahimahullah, one of the greatest scholars among the successors, how he used to be a thief and breaking into homes. And one day he got, basically he was trying to jump inside a house and he saw this man reading the night prayer in the middle of his house. أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. Isn't it time for those who believe, for their heart to basically get soft and to accept the truth? Then he said, yes, it is the time. Yes, it is the time. And that's the end of his bad life. As I said today, At-Tawbah, it's a new beginning, a new chapter in your life. And it has to be also not only a new beginning, it has to be an end of another life. So you begin with it, you begin something and you end something. You can't just play this game with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to be serious in making that change in your life. So this person, he is one of the most famous preachers in Arabia. And he said, I was about 30 years old when I got married and I got my first child. But this child has a very special story with me. I wasn't religious. I was a person who prays. I was a very bad person. But there's one thing I used to be, and I still have it. And I'm quoting what he's saying, or reading his story. I always had a good sense of humor. I like to joke a lot to, you know, make people happy. But there is a big difference between the old jahiliyyah days, the ignorant days, and after I became religious. In the old days, I didn't care about other people's feelings. I didn't care about people that I make fun of. They're religious, not religious, hurt someone's feeling or not. I really didn't care. I used to spend hours and hours in the night with my friends, neglecting my family, my parents, and for sure my wife, whose poor lady, she was pregnant in her late, you know, terms and about to deliver her child in any day, but I still would go every night with my friends, spending the night joking and making fun. I still remember that night. I was in the souk and I was making fun with my friends of everybody passing by. And this blind person passed by me and I tripped him intentionally. And I just made a joke, a comment. People started laughing and I was laughing at him. And I said, why don't you go back to your country? Stuff like, you know, the racist remarks that you might hear. He said, I know that I have very bad tongue, very bad manners. I was a very bad person before. I came late after a long night, spending the night with my friends, doing all things that I consider haram. Without going details, he said, I found my wife in a severe pain. Her contraction started. And she said, it is the time for me to deliver the baby. Rush her to the hospital. We spend almost 20 hours. Nothing. 18 hours, something like that. She's trying to basically, the baby's not coming out. I got tired. I said, you know what? Call me when she delivered the baby. I went home to sleep. They called me. They said, you got a child. I put myself together, went to the hospital, and I said, how she's doing? She's doing good. What is the baby? They said, talk to the doctor first. I said, where's the baby? Why the baby was not her? She was with the doctor. And I insisted and said, talk to the doctor. And I felt there was something serious about my son. And the doctor told me that your son has problem, genetic problem, that he basically can't see. He's going to be legally blind the rest of his life. The only thing I remember that day where she delivered the baby, that blind person that I made fun of, and I tripped in the soup. Said I was very upset, very angry. I didn't reflect upon it like something that as a reminder for me, it's actually made it hate my life more, that I have to deal with the disabled kids for the rest of my life. We called him Salim. He said, I wasn't very good father. I actually start getting out of the house more, avoiding my wife more, who's a very religious person, very patient with me. But I completely ignored my son. Not only that, when he became 1 year old, I still remember when he started taking his first steps, he stood to fall. Then I found that he's not only blind, he's also limping. He can't walk straight. He can't walk properly. That's made me hate my life more. But later on, I got other two kids later on after him, Omar, and another son. He said when my son was about teenager, 12, 13 years old, I was that Friday. He starts to remember that Friday very clearly. That Friday, I was leaving the house, and I was dressed up to go to basically an invitation for dinner. It's early for me to leave at 11:30 or 12 noon, but I had to go to that place. And I saw my son, Salim, at the door crying. I never saw him crying in my life, and I don't conversate with him much. So I said to him, are you okay? What's wrong with you? He said, my brother, he didn't show up. And I'm worried. Don't worry about him. He said, no, I'm not worried about him. I'm worried about Salatul Jumu'ah, the Jumu'ah prayer. Then I'm going to miss it. I paused for the second and I said to myself, you haven't done anything to your son all these years. And I decided to take him to Jumu'ah prayer. I told him, you know what? I'll take you to the Jumu'ah prayer. He said, yes. And I took him, and that's the first time I walk into the masjid to pray for a very, very, very long time. It was the first salah I prayed in the masjid for a very long time. And he said, do you think we can manage a place in the first line, in the close to the imam? And I managed to secure a place for him. We sat, we attend the khutbah, and after the khutbah finished, he said, Baba, can you get the mushaf? I said to myself, Mushaf, he's blind. What he wants with the Mushaf? Then, but I didn't say it, but I was surprised by his request. I brought the Mushaf and he said, can you open Surah Al-Kahf? He said, I still remember it took me quite a long time to figure out where Surah Al-Kahf is in the Mushaf. Go to the index, couldn't understand it because I never read Quran for the last 20 years of my life or so. Maybe when I was a kid, that's it. I didn't know where is it. And he kept telling me, which surah is this? And where is the name of the surah? On the top, I said, okay, Surah Al-Nahl, now go farther, go back, until we found Surah Al-Kahf. Then I said, what do you want? He said, just listen to me, because in Jumu'ah, it is sunnah to read Surah Al-Kahf. As a kid was raised by a righteous mother. And I said, you memorize it? He said, yes. And wallahi, he said, one of the most beautiful recitation that I ever heard. Maybe not the voice, maybe not the tajweed, but it is just that feeling inside my heart that my son is so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm very far away from Allah. He said, that was the last day in my life that I missed salah in the masjid. That was the last day in my life that I ever missed reading Surah Al-Kahf every Friday. And now when he's saying this in his talk, he was saying that's now you can count more than 25 years. That Friday was the last day I hang out with those bad company. I changed my life. I start hanging out with good people. I start going to Dawah. And at that time he was more, close to Tablighi Jama'ah. And he said, I became like more involved in Dawah, more in learning the knowledge, more attending to classes, things like that. And he said, and I decided to go for a trip to help some relief organizations and some dawah work in Africa or somewhere. And it was a long trip for about 4 months. I took permission from my family. They agreed and I left. When I came back, I called them on the phone and they told me, you need to come back. I can't cut it short, about 2 weeks shorter. Come like about 3 months and a half, came back to the house looking for my son, my kids. I saw everybody except Salim. And I said, where is Salim? He became the most beloved son to me, believe it or not. Then my little kid, Omar, he said, Salim with Allah. Salim is in Jannah. I just put him down, couldn't understand. I thought he just was sick. But the mother just don't want to give him the bad news while he's traveling. And he said, she told him how he got so sick. And about when she called him 2 weeks ago or 10 days ago, he didn't survive. He died. He said, that kid, yes, he might. He was blind. He said, no, I was the blind person. I didn't see the way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was limping. He doesn't know how to walk. You know what? That person's foot was very firm on the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That kid, he walked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he ran to Allah while I was just crawling or sitting in my place. He said that child changed my life. This incident have changed me and made me somebody else completely. This person, his tapes, his lectures, one of the most famous lectures in the Muslim world by the name of Sheikh Khalid al-Rashid, if you ever heard one of his talks. So my point was today that the issue of tawbah, the issue of repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is something that we should live with. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَإِنَّهُ كَانَ لِلْأَوَّابِينَ غَفُورًا in Surah Al-Isra, that Sa'id ibn Musayyib said, what that means, Al-Awwabin, he said, the one who commit the sin, then go back to Allah. Then later on he might commit another sin or a sin, then go back to Allah. And keep going back to Allah every time he or she sin. قال الفضيل ابن عياب, قال الله, بشر المذنبين بأنهم إن تابوا قبلت منهم. وحذر الصديقين أني إن وضعت عليهم عدلي عذبتهم. Give the glad tidings to those who commit sins. If they repent, they will meet my forgiveness. But tell those who are righteous, if I ever deal with them with my justice, they will end up being punished. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said that Allah said, O son of Adam, anytime you pray to me, you have hope in me, you ask for my forgiveness, I will forgive your sins and I don't care. Wala ubali. I don't care how big, how much, how many your sins are. Ya ibn Adam, O son of Adam, if your sins reach to the heavens, balagat anan as-sama, yani the record of your sins goes all the way to the heavens, he said, then you ask for my forgiveness, I'll forgive you. O son of Adam, if your sin can cover the whole entire earth, لو أتيتني بقراب الأرض خطايا, or as heavy as the weight of the earth, I will meet you with equal to that weight, with equal to that much, for that size, forgiveness. Reported by Tirmidhi. وفي الحديث القدسي إن الله قال من علم أني ذي قدرة على مغفرة الذنب غفرت له على ما كان منه ولا أبالي ما لم يشرك بي شيئا. If my servant knows that I forgive the sins no matter what, I will forgive the sin of my servant as long as he doesn't commit shirk. That's why I would like to encourage each and every one of us, as I said today and Friday, let's make this Friday similar to Khalid's Friday, a Friday where things has to be changed in our life. A new beginning in one chapter or one area in your life. Pick one thing that today it will be changed in your life. One thing that you will repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from it, and you will commit yourself to the worship of Allah azza wa jal. As I read in Surah in Surah Al-Furqan in Salat Al-Isha, إلا من تاب وآمن وعمل عملا صالحا فأولئك يبدل الله سيئاتهم حسنات. Those who believe in Allah, they repent to Allah, and they do good deeds, Allah will replace their bad deeds with good deeds. Bad deeds will be replaced with good deeds. They start doing good deeds. They start basically a new chapter in their life. My brother and sisters, those who want to truly repent to Allah, those who want to stay in the path of tawbah, I can tell you there is nothing can keep you in that path like the masjids. They say, Al-masjid huwa mihrab al-ta'ibin. It's the qibla of everyone who wants to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why one of Ibn Mas'ud's reminder and advices, very powerful. He said, عليكم بهذه الصلوات حيث ينادى بهن فإنهن سنن الهدى فمن تركها ضل. Commit yourself to be at these places where the salah is called. It is among the way of huda, of guidance. If you leave it, you will be misguided. It is these places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about it and about the people of these places, في بيوت أذن الله أن ترفع ويذكر فيها اسمه يسبح له فيها بالغدو والآصال رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة يخافون يوما تتقلب فيه القلوب والأبصار. In homes where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give the permission to be arisen, where His name is glorified and mentioned in the day and the night, in it men who will not be distracted by tijara, by wealth, nor by selling, because business, whenever, if you are in a business, you know, we ask Haytham, for example, if he went and he go purchase a merchant, cars, he purchased it, he put his money and taking the risk. But when there is a sale, when there is bay', when there is someone said, you know what, I'm going to close on that car, he knows as a businessman that that's the deal. That's more valuable than just purchasing a merchandise on the hope that you will be sell it later on, because you might stuck with it. That's right. That's why Allah mentioned tijara wala bay', because bay', it's something guarantee the money, guaranteeing your return, guaranteeing your profit. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, no, will prevent them from dhikrullah subhanahu wa ta'ala and performing salah and giving zakah. With all of this, Allah still said about them, يَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا تَتَقَلَّبُ فِيهِ الْقُلُوبُ وَالْأَبْصَارِ. With all this commitment to salah, with all this commitment to the masajid, with all this commitment to the zakat, with all this giving and charity, with all this generosity for the sake of Allah, they still fear the day of judgment. So what about those who are not committed? What about those who are not? When I read in Surah Al-Furqan as well, in Surah Al-Isha, in Salat Al-Isha, I said what Allah said about those believers who spend their night doing what? They doing their night praying. They praying in the night and they saying what? رَبَّنَا صْرِفْ عَنَّا عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمْ إِنَّ عَذَابَهَا كَانَ غَرَامًا. So those who spend their night praying, they said, oh Allah, protect us from hellfire. What about those who, like me and many others, spend their night sleeping? Maybe those who spend their night watching the haram, listening to the haram, or at least wasting their time. My brothers, these masajid, wherein Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever go to the masjid in the morning or comes back from it, go to the fajr, go to isha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala build for you a house in Jannah. بَنَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بَيْتًا فِي الْجِنُزُلًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ كُلَّمَا غَدَى أَوْ رَاحَ. Every time you go in the morning and every time you go in the night. Every time. that you have a place built for you and prepared for you in Jannah. قال حسن بن علي رضي الله عنه, in the masajid, there is ثمان خصال. Those who go to the masjid often, they have 8 qualities. 8 things apply to them. قال أولها آية محكمة. It's a very clear sign of faith. وأخم مستفادا. You will find a brother or a person that he should be a good brother or a good sister to you. وعلما مستظرفا. You will learn something. ورحمة منتظرة. You will find Allah's mercies waiting for you. وكلمة تدل على هدى أو تردعه عن ردى. A reminder that might inspire you to do good or prevent you from something bad. وترك الذنوب حياء أو خشية. And inside the masjid, you don't commit sins. Either because you're shy or because you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One day I walk in the masjid and I see this young man opening his phone and watching things which is, you're not allowed to watch it outside the masjid. And like looking at it. And we had eye contact. I wasn't looking intentionally, but just he's next to the door. And his, mashallah, has these pluses, phones, big screen. And he looked at me, he felt so embarrassed and immediately closed it. And I noticed the guy, he took the phone completely and put it in his pocket. Never pulled it out again during the salah. And the masajid where people fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لا يصنع الأبطال إلا في مساجدنا الفساح في روضة القرآن في ظل الأحاديث الصحاح شعب بغير عقيدة ورق تذريه الرياح من خان حي على الصلاة خان حي على الكفاح. سلم, the person who said these poetries, when he said in his lines, he said, those who betrayed حي على الصلاة, they will betray, come to stand for the Muslim, to fight for the rights of the Muslims, to defend the oppressors, the oppressed one. That's why I couldn't understand that. Activism outside the masjid. Being so active and so, you know, I understand it exists, but the true aqidah comes from those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless their work, bless their effort. That's why I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put His mercy upon us and to make us among those who repent to Allah azza wa jal and to take that concept of tawbah serious and to be truthful in it. Allahumma arham ibadan gharrahum tulu imhalik wa atma'ahum dawamu ifdalik wa maddu aydiyahum ila karami nawalika ya hayy ya qayyum wa ayqanu annahu la ghina an su'alik. Allahumma farahmataka narju wa nakhsha adabak inna adabaka aljiddu bil kuffari mulhiq. اختم لنا بالصالحات اللهم اختم لنا بالصالحات واعف عنا وارحمنا إنك أنت مولانا نعم المولى ونعم النصير. ربنا إننا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا إننا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. سبحانك اللهم إنا كنا من الظالمين. وصل اللهم وسلم على نبينا محمد وآله وجزاكم الله خيرا.